pleasure to have Peter Bradley Adams back here. Welcome again to WKY, Peter.
Thanks so much.
Peter's here. Yes, thank you very much. We're glad you made it. He's here with Jonathan Trebbing. Jonathan, his ever-present sidekick. He's there when he needs him, right, Jonathan?
Seldomly present.
Yeah, seldomly present.
Peter, we're going to talk about this new album you've got. It's great. It's wonderful. It's leave-taking. We're going to hear some live tracks from that in just a couple of minutes. And we want to remind folks that both of you will be playing tonight at a little place called Al's Bar. That's down on North Limestone. You can find out more at our website, WKY.org. And I do believe showtime is 6:30, right?
Yes, it's early.
6:30. It's an early show. So, you know, you can actually go down there and get yourself some meal, get a little food.
That's what I hear.
And chow down and enjoy the music. So, again, WKY.org is the website to get information from. What are you going to play for us first, Peter?
Well, we're going to start out with we're going to go back to the East Mountain South days, start out with an old one. It's a song called You Dance.
Thank you.
Live music on listener-supported radio, 91.3 WKY. It's Peter Bradley Adams with Jonathan Trebbing, and a song that was performed originally by East Mountain South, a group that was formed a number of years ago, is You Dance. And did you write that one, Peter? Is that all you?
Yeah, I wrote that song with my friend Joshua Meltzer, who was out in L.A. at the time.
What's the transition been like for you going from being with a group to the solo gig? What's that about for you? How's it feel so far?
It's been a real trip for sure. I mean, the other interesting thing about East Mountain South is that we were more like two songwriters that were working together. We weren't so much of a band. So it's not totally different, but of course it is very different not sharing the stage and not constantly singing with someone and having all those vocal training wheels around you the whole time.
Were you in control from the beginning? I mean, was it a collaboration between you and your bandmates?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
But now you're making all the decisions yourself, right? Who produces, who performs with you?
Pretty much so,
no
yeah.
No pressure there,
yeah,
right?
No, none at all.
Yeah. And I know that big deal with the fact that you were picked up by Robbie Robertson. He worked with DreamWorks Record Company, and that company, as a lot of us know in the business, sort of just disappeared.
Yeah.
As so many industry names have gone by the wayside.
Yeah. It was a great label, too. It's sort of very artist-friendly. They were really interested in developing artists, and I guess that's maybe one of the reasons why they're not around anymore. But they were awesome.
So were you, your decision to become a solo artist, was that all part of that dissipation of that label?
Well, that was a small part of it, but it was also just something I wanted to do. I wanted to work alone. And also Kat Maslow Chibodi, my partner at the time, also was married and has had a couple of kids since then. She's also in Nashville now, working on her solo stuff as well. So we're kind of taking parallel paths at the moment.
Now, you worked with Mitchell Froom. In case a lot of people don't know who Mitchell Froom is, a producer who's worked with the likes of Los Lobos, Suzanne Vega, Crowded House, the list goes on, Peter Case, Richard Thompson. Obviously, you're inspired by the man. You were a big fan of his. Mm-hmm. How did you hook up with him?
Well, we just went through a number of producers, and I think everyone, including Robbie, who is sort of executive producing it, we decided he was...
That helped a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was nice. And so we made the record out in Los Angeles, and I got to co-produce it with them, and it was pretty incredible. Really, really difficult, but incredible.
Now, Leave Taking is your second solo record.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about this. How did you pick the producer that you have with this record?
Well, it's a great instrumentalist producer in Nashville named Lex Price, and I'd met him on tour with another friend of mine, and we just started. This is before I moved to Nashville, and we started working together a little bit over the internet, me sending him tracks, and he'd do some stuff on them. And when the time came to make a record, we kind of knew how we wanted to do it, and I wanted him to be the captain. So
Nashville just must be crazy. I mean, the amount of musicians. I mean, you've got this fine musician sitting over here, and we were talking before we went on the air, said, how did you hook up with him? He just happened to be hanging out. What was the deal? Did you just hear him somewhere some night?
I've heard him around a bit. You know, he's one. He's incredible, and yeah, as you can hear, and we know.
I'm actually friends with Lex, who produced the record. That's how we met each other, was through Lex. So he was a friend of mine. From
Lex
before.
Price. All roads lead to Lex Price, I guess. Yeah. But
what's happening in Nashville right now? Is it still as much of a hotbed as it always was?
I think
as far
it's,
as producing, writing, finding musicians.
There's so much happening there, and so. So little of it that I know is actually any country, of course, is that's going on. But
you moved there 2 years ago from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Is that something you had in your mind for a long time? I mean,
well, I'm from Alabama, so it's closer to home. And I think when I made the record there,
it's still a world away.
It is. It is. You're right.
I'm sorry. You were saying
no.
when you made
the record there, I just ended up staying. So, and it's been great. It's an incredible place. Incredibly inspiring, humbling place to live. This is a song called Los Angeles, speaking of Los Angeles. It was written just as I was leaving the place, so. It's a rare moment of affection I had for the city. Los Angeles, we leave you now. At the setting of your skies, and as we leave in the comfort of your ground, with your angels we will fly. Will you carry us in broken dreams, like a mother does her sons? We were scattered across your dirty streets. We were dying one by one, and you held us in city lights. When our eyes lost the stars, fall into the sea, but we will know that then your work is done, and your angels will go free, and your angels will go free, and your angels will.
That's Peter Bradley Adams from a CD called Leave Taking. You're hearing it here live on WUKY, where NPR rocks at 91.3. Peter's going to be live downtown tonight, actually, on North Limestone at Al's Bar, and he'll be there with his buddy Jonathan Trebbing. The show starts at 6:30. You can find out more about that show at our website, WUKY.org. We love this record, and especially this song gets me every single time I hear it. Los Angeles, fantastic.
Thanks, man.
Song.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you very much.
And you said you wrote that as you were leaving the city?
A lot of it was written sort of on
Sounds
that.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not really necessarily about my story out there. It happened when I was flying out there for the last time to pack up my apartment. That endless.
Well, there's a million stories in the city.
I know. And everyone's got a Leaving Los Angeles song, you know. You gotta have one.
That's right.
If you leave there, you got to write a song.
It sounds like things are going okay for you in Nashville. I started out as a classically trained pianist.
Mm-hmm.
At what, age 4? Is that what I understand?
Six.
Well, you know.
Whatever. We could say 4.
And you made the transition into singer-songwriter. And there was a gentleman that was in here yesterday named Benso Lee. He's an up-and-comer. He's a cellist.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all very enamored by the guy. And he was talking about the fact that he was a little nervous when it came to making the transition from being classically trained to being someone who was playing, I guess, more of a pop type sound. And he ran into a musician that made a point to him that he's carried with him ever since then. He says, it's not the instrument itself, it's the style that you're playing that you need to focus on. Is that anything that's been going through your mind? How did you make that transition? What was the thought or the idea or the suggestion that helped you make that transition?
Well, the whole transition is sort of a big mystery to me. And in fact, I've spent a lot of time kind of wishing I hadn't learned all the stuff that I learned. I did a lot of studying. In addition to piano, I studied composition. I ended up getting a master's. And so I did all this formal training, and I've often wondered what in the hell that stuff actually does for me now as a songwriter. And the truth is that most of it just gets in the way. But I will say that my ability to talk to musicians helps me to be able to tell musicians what I want. And also in production and arranging, I think in terms of that. So that helps a lot.
My blood runs warm with no red wine. I miss the life that I left behind. When I hear the sound of the blackbird's cry, I know I left in the nick of time.
It's been fun. Thank you so much,
Thank
Peter.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good luck to you too, Jonathan. And Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
Have a good run and come back again soon, all right?
Thanks.
Well, this road I'm on is gonna turn to sand. Leave me